Turn with me this morning, please, to Psalm 42. As you turn to this familiar psalm, partly made familiar by our singing of it regularly, I invite you to prepare your hearts and minds to attend to the words of God. Let us work these words through our hearts and minds once again, so that we might draw forth from them the strength and the hope intended for us by our God. Beginning in verse 1, please. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All the breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I hope you notice the title is embedded twice in this psalm. So let me go ahead and show it to you. I shall again praise him. I hope you understand that one word captures much of this lesson. I want you to understand that this psalmist recognizes something. What he recognizes is that there is a container that can hold my life. Look at this. Notice in the middle there is present distress. But the middle, this present distress, is framed with past remembrance and future praise. I should actually say past praise and future praise. There is a frame that can hold the present. Whatever the occasions of our lives, good, bad, indifferent, they can be held. They can be framed, they can be contained, they can be managed, they can be made powerful. Because, as this psalmist knows, there is something bigger than our present. So let me note for you that this work that the psalmist knows, this work of memory and hope is before us. We get to look back and build a frame from the past. We get to look ahead and build a support there. We get to bracket our days with memory and hope. So let me note for you this morning four robust practices that can help us engage in this framing. Now, I say us because I think it is something we do together, and we'll see that in a moment, but it's also something we do individually, and so that continual tug of the I and the we is at work. Robust practices, here they are. We can name the present. We don't hide from it. We don't pretend it's not there. We confront it. We name it. But that's not all. We remember. And that's not all. We rehearse relationship with God. All of the days and ways are lived before Him. They are experienced. They are encountered in His presence. And we can practice that rehearsal and find the strength therein. And lastly, maybe most richly, I don't know, we can hope. Twice the psalmist says that, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. I will join the psalmist simply in rehearsing and repeating what he sees. Let's take each of these in turn and see how this psalm demonstrates the practice being noted here. First, we in naming the present. You see, now I grant you that at some point, naming can turn into wallowing. And I'm not recommending wallowing. But I'm also not recommending pretending that the reality of the present is not there. So let's do the naming as the psalmist does. Let's see in short order. Look at this. He says there are tears. In fact, he turns poetic on us and says, my tears have been my food. That's true for you and it's true for me. All the times, not just now, all the time, there are the dangers and the possibility of this are true. So let's not hide from it. It's okay to name the tears. I'm cast down three times. My soul is cast down in this chapter. I am downcast. Name it. I am in turmoil. I'm in the midst of God's forgetting. Okay. I don't believe that God forgot, but I believe the psalmist feels it. And so what he's naming here is the present feeling, his present sense. But of course, we'll see that this psalmist understands the limitations of what he's saying. Mourning, oppression, taunt, an extensive list. None terribly fully elaborated, embellished. Maybe the mostly captured in this, my tears have been my food. I invite you to keep that language around. Let it be so, to name it, but not to wallow. The other practices, I believe, rescue us from the wallowing, but I'm not even through with the naming. Three more things. This is done in the present. There's a soul that's panting. There's a thirsty soul. There's a soul pouring going on in this psalm as well. This psalm is busy with this person, the speaker, recognizing himself in this moment. And I want us to do that. I'd like for us to cultivate a robust practice of naming the present. But we don't only want to do that. We want to remember. In fact, I think this may be the most fully developed part of this psalm. In fact, is what led me to this musing about the psalm altogether was to see what he says. This one particular verse. Look with me in verse 4. It is the lengthiest, I think, or maybe not in absolute words, but it's the most developed of all the portions. Look what he says. See, this is the verse begins with him, I'm pouring out my soul. But as I pour out my soul, I remember. See, they're not separated. They're intertwined, they're integrated. I pour and I remember. And look what he remembers. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Now, I'm not sure in our tradition how good we are at keeping festival. I'm not sure how we play that out, but it's here. It's here. Notice this. This is a crowd. It's a throng. There's a multitude. There's a procession. And he's remembering that. And not only is he part of it, he's leading it. And there are shouts and songs and festival. That's what I remember when I pour out my soul. Do you understand how he can say, I will again praise him? Because he's never really stopped. Even here, in the midst. So in one sense, my framing was a kind of a false distinction. It's not past praise and future praise only. Even in the midst here, he remembers to praise God. And I invite you to practice this kind of remembering. For me, well, my guess is many of us are drawn to this. We remember times together in praise of God. In fact, we eagerly anticipate that once again. But this is not all the remembering. Verse 6. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember. Notice again, there's the pairing. Now it's not pouring out my soul, it is simply acknowledging the existence of a cast down soul. But when I'm cast down, I don't stop. I pursue remembering. This time, though, he remembers God. I remember you from places. And I invite you to practice that kind of memory. My guess is everybody listening, everybody here, everybody knows a link between memory and place. I still feel it when I top the hill. You have to be from my hometown to actually believe it's a hill. But when I top the hill and look over and see that there it is, there's not much to see, but it means a lot to me. You know place and your situation in the world can be remembered here and understood in relation to God. I remember you with these places in mind. And that's not all. I remember your steadfast love. Verse 8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. All right, that's the next one as well. About that same verse, your song is with me twice. See, now it's almost, this seems to be more of a turn to the private experience. At night, you almost get the sense of this is him more alone. And in place, in company and alone, I'm remembering God. What do I remember about God? I remember his steadfast love. Here I am in the midst of tears as my food. But I know this, God practices a coming after me love. The running Father. He's coming after me. And I remember that. This is the God I remember while the tears flow, while my soul sags low. I remember. Will you join me in this robust practice? Let's name the present. Let's remember. But you can't turn from this psalm without knowing that here this speaker says, I'm addressing God. I'm in the presence of God. I'm in company with God. And so I'm going to name God. I'm going to name my relationship. It's here, and it's going to keep me going while my tears are my food. So he refers to the living God. He refers to the living God in verse 2. He refers to my salvation twice. He's not referring to his salvation. He's referring to God in verse 5. I shall again praise him. My salvation. You see, he's naming God there. He's not naming his own condition. My salvation is him. And, whoa, I got carried away. Verse 11 repeats that, but verse 6 and 11, we have this language of my God, and that may be verse 5, My God is in there twice again. And then verse 8, by day the Lord commands. You see, it's not enough to do it once. We have to pile it up. We have to extend. We have to make sure that we rehearse our relationship with God while we eat the tears. And then I want to show you one more. Look in verse 8 with me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I invite you today to include that in your prayer. Holy God, you are the God of my life. And here in the midst of woe, in the midst of the occasions of life, celebration or not, in the midst of the occasions of life, I am going to say, I'm going to announce, I'm going to repeat, you are the God of my life. I cannot help but think that you will be fortified by that practice of acknowledging who God is. Then let's go to the fourth one. I name and affirm the future. Do you understand? This is available to us. This is not the preserve of a privileged few, the holy elite. Somehow they get this and the rest of us kind of straggle along behind. No, there is a procession. A procession that keeps festival, and we can be part of it. Look at the verse that's in there twice, right? About the middle and at the end. Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He is there. And right now, the pure celebratory praise is marred, is muted, is mixed with other things. But even then, I'm praising. But I remember the glad festival, and I'm confident it's going to happen again. This is not just for the psalmist, it's for us. And we can do this. We can name God here. He is my salvation. He is my God, and I'm going to put my hope in him. And again, I will praise him. My guess is there's a parent listening who may have said this to a child, may have said this, I'm going to love you again sometime, but right now, it's kind of hard. Now, of course, even then, you still love them, and they know that, I hope. But right now, there's a moment when that love is mixed with other feelings, frustration, whatever it might be. But I shall again love him purely, simply. And this is available to us. I want to remind you of one other place that has a similarity to this. Psalm 22, please. Join me in Psalm 22. Just one verse there. As soon as I name that number, I'm sure that a few of you remember the messianic links, the messianic associations that we make with this psalm. But let's look at the first verse and just see the first two verses and see how similar it sounds to Psalm 42. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. That sounds like Psalm 42, parts of Psalm 42. It's a lament, and that's okay if we don't wallow. But you know, we company together in part to protect one another from wallowing, to help one another escape it. But I'm not through reading. I want to look at one more verse. Verse 3. We don't have again here. We have the word yet. Yet. In the midst of my lament, in the midst of my woe that I readily declare to you, yet you are holy. And look at the rest. Enthroned on the praises of Israel. Do you understand today that the psalmist said there was a time in the past when we offered our praise in celebration and we helped to create the throne of God? We became his throne with our praises. And that's going to happen again. Praises await. Praises now mingled with our woe, but they're there. And we can have them. We can offer them. If we will do the work of surrendering our hearts first, but also practicing these reminders, practicing these skills that this psalmist understands. Earlier, Anthony at the table said, reading from Luke, Luke said it, Anthony read it, the king has come. The king came and died and was buried and was raised and was exalted to the right hand of God, King Jesus. He did the work of God. He participated with God in creating a way of hope for us. We can join in that. There's not a mystery about it. We can join. We can say, yes, indeed, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe it enough to announce to the world my loyalty to him. I will join him in covenant. I will be buried in the water. I'll be raised from that water, washed from my sins, ready, a new creation to go forth and live in hope, to live a procession of praise for the God of my life. For those of you today who are in that procession, sometimes you need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. We're not stumbling and struggling. This is a procession of praise. We're looking to the King. We're looking to God, and we're bringing him our praise in festival together. Let's remember that this morning. But there may be someone who needs to join the procession, needs to join that way of salvation and say, I'm ready. I hope today, if that is the case, that you will reach out. Reach out to an elder. Reach out to someone. Reach out to a preacher and say, I am ready to confess the name of the Lord Jesus and become his partner. And then as a citizen of his kingdom, I'll join the procession of praise. Will you do that this morning? Will you take up those four practices if you're already in the procession? If not, join it. And then take up the practice where we name the present. We remember. We acknowledge our relationship with God. And we hope. We hope. And we offer him praise. Let us now consider these things as we can have this last song before us.